Welcome to The Complete Musician, creativity at its core, exploring innovative musical ideas, thoughts, and techniques for the modern musician in today's society, with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Well, howdy and how do, partners. It is time for another Complete Musician podcast. I'm Drew.
Yeehaw, and I'm James.
Every intro will be different, so it's going to be a good time.
Did I have enough
up
spirit
for the future?
Did you believe it? Did you believe
I did.
My enthusiasm?
I pictured tumbleweeds and 10-gallon hat and a Western, so you did.
The listening
job.
Audience
or
won't
Texas.
Know this, but this was the 10th time that we tried that intro. I just didn't have the right motivation the last 9 times.
I had to criticize you for your inflection and your, yes, it was. So we are doing our Q&A episode today. Thank you to all of those that gave us questions. We got a couple of them, and then we're going to do some ones at the end.
Some, that's right. Yes. More thought-provoking queries.
Yes. So, okay. So let's just go ahead and dive in. So we have a couple.
You just tumbleweeded to be apropos right through our intro song.
Oh, you're right. Oh, we have an intro. Okay, sorry, intro song.
Okay, so we don't have time. I'm just gonna make it really fast. Here it is.
Perfect. Okay, so we have two silly questions and we have two like serious ones. So we'll start with silly. How about that?
Sounds
okay,
good.
So this is from Andrew. I think this is going to be a regular thing with him because he asked, which I mean we're suckers for consistency. So his question is, who would win in a fight, Bruckner or Wagner?
Oh,
so it's always going to be a fight with him.
It's always going to be a fight.
It's going
to
be a fight.
Ask
him
how to work with someone on their reading site.
On their reading site. Well, that would have been more consistency. And then next time it'll be how to cite with a reading well.
Mm-hmm.
And work.
Exactly.
And all these things.
Okay.
Anyway,
well, this is a thought-provoking one. Yeah. Can you read the full question to me one more time?
Who would win in a fight, Bruckner or Wagner?
Okay. So first we need to specify what kind of fight. Because I don't think we're talking fisticuffs.
Are we talking a food fight?
I thought we were going to like play a game of Battleship. Or maybe Halo.
Ooh. It would be interesting.
Or, like, okay, no, I got it.
Okay.
Okay. We're playing Super Smash Brothers. Who are their mains?
Wait a minute. Okay, hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold that thought. It's way too ironic that you said that, but we'll continue along this vein for a moment. Who were their mains? Oh, you'd really have to know personality wise about these things. So the only thing I know Wagner was volatile and Bruckner obsessed with death. That's most of what I know about them.
Okay.
Like personality-wise, if I had to guess about Wagner, I would say that he was probably like play to win, like use cheap ploys to win. That would strike me.
Okay.
Or what is it? Meta Knight.
Meta Knight. Yeah, I was thinking probably Meta Knight. Either Wario.
Oh, Wario. Or he's like disgustingly good with Jigglypuff.
Oh yeah, that's true. That could be Jigglypuff.
It could be.
Boy, that would be frustrating though.
Ugh. I hear Colton snoring in the background.
Oh yeah. I'll see if I can boost
snoring.
The audio here. Hold on, let's have silence for a second. Okay, there it is.
Just awesome. silly Colton. Anyway, Bruckner's, I don't know, like who obsessed with death. I don't know, Bayonetta. like,
well, okay. I'm going for a different angle there because I'm thinking, okay. Number one, longevity. His pieces are very long, but also
yes.
Let's compare like the symphonies to his motets. So we have this kind of both this long-standing tradition, but also this almost like antiquity or this thing of youth.
Yeah, because he was like all into the old. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm thinking both Link and Toon Link.
I like that idea. Yeah.
Just depending on what day.
Yeah, and either way, Wagner wins because you can't beat Meta Knight, and especially someone who's good with it because it's cheap.
Yeah.
So yep. Cheap.
You can just fly everywhere. Cheap.
I know. How unfair.
Ride of the Valkyries, you know?
Yeah, there you go. So, Andrew, that is your answer, is that Wagner would win because he uses Meta Knight.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. Done. All right. So that is Andrew. I like the consistency, though. I like thinking about a fight and a different kind of fight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's very ironic that you went to Smash Bros. Because that...
Is Anthony's question has to do with Smash Brothers, if he submitted one?
Well, one of his, yes. Okay. That is... Okay, uh-huh. So anyway, our next question, we'll go to a serious one. This is by... this is Anthony, but it's his Frack City account, which is just an amazing name. So on Instagram, he is Frack City. He said, what is your favorite etude these days? And I think he's actually looking for an answer and not my real answer, which is none of them. But I think he's looking for... yeah. I do have an answer for this.
As do I. Yeah, I actually have a few. Okay. But if I had to pick one, we could do that. Or we could do a collection.
We could do a collection. I'll tell you the ones that I've been practicing that I've been getting back in shape with. Yeah. Okay, so I have three that I'm working on right now. But I'm also coming from a place of being very, very, very out of shape over the summer. Like, I did not touch my horn, like, at all over the summer because family and just – it just wasn't the priority. Just
quick plug. We have a getting back in shape routine and podcast.
We do. We do. And actually, I based how I was getting – back in shape on that, and you know there's etude practice built into that, so I have actually been going back to some very basic etudes to work with, and I've actually been working out of, because I haven't actually in a long time, I've been working out of Syncope Rush. I have been working out of Fern.
Fern. Interesting.
Yeah. And then I've been working out of, it's on my stand over there, and the name has just escaped to me.
Really hard.
Hold on. It's like right here. What is this? It's like, it's right there. The Tyrell Studies.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I bet not too many people will be as familiar with the Fern and the Tyrell Studies.
Yeah, the Cope Rush we know, and my favorite one in Cope Rush right now is number 4, and I like doing it in the octave it's written and then down the octave. That's my favorite one to do, the big scale one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So because I'm not really looking to destroy my high range right now when I'm, well, it's much better now than it was a few weeks ago, but I was, when I was getting back into shape, I just needed a play. So mid-range, low-range, perfect. So Cope Rush we all know. And then the Fern Studies, I can't remember where I learned about it from, but it's just this like book of exercises for flexible horn playing by Ward Fern. I looked up about him, but I don't know much about Ward Fern, honestly. Mm-hmm. Who is Ward Fern? Do you know like more about him? Because I cannot.
Ask ChatGPT.
Yeah, ChatGPT, you'll tell us.
Who is Ward?
Spell it F-E-R-N.
Right? What's that?
I think so. No, spell Fern, F-E-R-N, and see. It, I mean, that's not correct, but say, I just want to see what ChatGPT will say. Probably come up with a plant.
It seems there isn't much widely known information or certificate reference to someone named Ward Fern within the music industry.
Well, I could say the same about his book, but, you know, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. that's right, because it's F-E-A-R-N.
He
played in Philly.
Okay.
Philadelphia Orchestra back in the 40s to the 60s.
Okay. Sorry, people who like love him. I did not know that about him. I looked it up at one point.
I'm pretty sure he
taught
at Curtis then, too.
Yeah, that sounds right. Anyway, so he created a book of exercises for flexible horn playing that I only learned about like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And the book is okay. I mean, it's fine. My favorite thing to do that I'm using it for is the first two pages, because all it is lines of increasingly bigger intervals, but it stays. The highest note is like an F on top of the staff, and the lowest is like middle C. And I take it, it's like 12 lines of music. It's all about smooth playing, just bigger intervals, jumping around. And I put a drone on, and I do it at like, it says to do it at like dotted, it's in 3/4, to dotted half equals like 50 something. So it's supposed to go in one. I do it at quarter equals 80 with a drone and the metronome. And that makes it so hard. It's so hard and so tired. The end of it, it's like 4 minutes of playing, like to do like one page. But it's been so good to stay in the mid range, practice flexibility. So I really like the first two pages. The rest of the book, I could take it or leave it, but I really love it for those two. So I actually make my students do all of them too, because it's really good for them for intonation and stuff like that. And then the Tyrell studies are just trombone studies. They are like, to me, a step up above Bordoni. And they're just, I mean, some of them are lyrical. Some of them are more, what you call, technical. I think they are called progressive etudes, because I think they increase in range and in key, the Tyrell studies. T-Y-R-R-E-L-L, I think. Tyrell
T-Y-R-E-L-L.
Okay, I couldn't remember if two R's or not. Anyway, so that's just been good for low playing. And they're not the easiest things in the world, but they're really fun to just kind of blast through. I like to play them really loud, especially as I'm getting back in shape. So
nice.
Those are my favorite etudes at the moment. I'm in much better shape than I was, so probably need to like add something else in, but that's been good for me for getting back in shape.
Well, and that's the fun thing, that it's over, always changing and evolving, I feel like. And I think our students are the ones that know what we're into, because then we suddenly make them all do all like these books and things like, oh, I discovered this cool thing. You have to do it.
I'm going to do James Nagus's modal etudes. Now you're going to do James Nagus's modal etudes.
Yeah, we don't do those. No, that's not one of the books. No, I would say my two, if I had to pick right now, the ones that I'm doing are, first, this, I've been on a bit of a Barbato kick.
I mean,
Barbato has this set of really difficult etudes, but then there's this other book that's 70 etudes, like called Lectures, Etudes, or whatever. The best way I can describe it is it's like those Patag preparatory melodies, but a lot more harmonically interesting and technically challenging, but in terms of the same general length and variety. And so it's just really great for just ripping through a vast variety of repertoire. And
they're
not
really different too. No.
Yeah.
No, they're not. And the harmony is like you said, like much less diatonic than anything you'd see in Patag. There's also a lot of transposition that comes up early.
Yeah,
like
there's
you get only a couple in, and you're like in oot, and you're like, oh wait,
and it switches in the middle of the etude too. So it's,
yeah.
So it really makes you think. So I like that, and I think there's 80 in the book. And then the other one is quite frankly just the old school Bololi, and opposed to like the Google or some of the other ones, they can get to be a bit long winded, but if you approach it to try to be dramatic and musical and not just hammer it out as a technical exercise, then I think they can be a lot of fun.
But, yeah, I think so too.
In small doses too. Don't sit down and play all 3-4 pages, or else you'll probably be wrecked.
You'll be dead for the rest of the day. So yeah, so there you go. Mayor of Frack City, that is your answer for our favorite etudes. So there you go.
Is that like the mayor of Flavortown?
I don't know. He's the mayor of Munchkinville, actually. Okay, so Anthony, you're the mayor of Munchkinville. Okay, we have another serious question before we get to Anthony's second one. But this is actually from one of my friends. I posted it on my other Instagram profile. This is from my friend Andre. Andre is a... He's getting his doctorate in psychology over in Tennessee right now. He and I are gym friends. And so he asked both of us, what are our best time management practices for combining work? And I guess for me, family, and you too, family, and gym, because he mm-hmm. knows that, you know, well, we met at the gym, and then now you yeah. are an avid gym goer. So mm-hmm. he's asking what our best time practices is for balancing all of that.
I'll start because you have a lot more experience and can probably talk a lot longer on both of those things. My best time practice is to make sure I schedule it, and also because I'm paying for it, I show up. It's the accountability of like a, this yeah. is going to happen. I'm going to do this thing because,
yeah,
you know, because there's another extrinsic motivator. These days I find I do have to do it after teaching. Like I have to zone out. And I know that's different from what you're doing just simply due to your schedule. But right now,
well,
that period
is
between
like to be commended.
Yeah. Between
that's
like
crazy.
Three
I don't
and
know how you
six
do it.
Tends to be the block of time where I could fit it in between when I'm done teaching typically and then when there might be a recital or concert or something like that.
So seriously, kudos to you because oh man. I after work is like I'm exhausted. I just want to go home. Like, so
that's
honestly, that is like huge kudos to you for dragging yourself there and like doing the thing. Cause that's awesome. Cause most people wouldn't truthfully.
It's going to be in 3 hours. So. That's as we're recording this, that's when I go next. So.
Oh no, we timestamped it. Yeah. Okay. So for me, I guess, I go early in the morning. I get up at 5 and I go because that's, like you said, that's when I balance. Like that's the priority at that point because no one is awake. Like my mm-hmm. wife and my baby are sleeping. And so, and you know, it's before work and I can shower there and then just come straight to work. It's on the way to work. So that's really helpful. Balancing all of that together. Honestly, and I tell everyone this, I think I said this to you too, I honestly don't feel like I've achieved a true balance yet mm-hmm. between all mm-hmm. of them because I still feel like work bogs me down quite a bit and I get stressed over the things for work that I have to do. And especially with like family stuff now because I try not to do work when baby is like awake and playing because I don't want to miss out on that, you know?
Of course.
So I try to get all my work done at work, but then that requires me staying here sometimes later that I don't want to. But that's been a practice that I've been doing now is to do work at work and to not bring it home. So I'm not tempted. It also helps
advice.
Me.
Yeah.
And it also helps me to get to bed on time because I go to bed between 10 and 10:30 every night because we put baby down. She's usually asleep by like 9 to 9:30. And then that's my
all
time.
I can imagine when you say that is that you're insulting your daughter. We put her down like, man, you had a rough
go
day.
To sleep. If that was like a way to make baby sleep. Then anyway, it's just like go to bed. That's helpful, like to not have it there as a temptation. Like I try not to open my work laptop at all when I'm at home mm-hmm. because I don't even want to tempt myself. And then that makes me go to bed because if I get so engrossed in like grading or a project or something, then I won't go to bed on time because I'll just spend time doing stuff. So That's been a really good practice now is leaving work at work and trying to get as much done before I go home so I can be present at home. I mean, that doesn't always happen. Like I told you, one of my recent stresses is I wrote a piece for one of my students and it was fixed media and it took me a really long time to do it. Not to write mm-hmm. it, but just to find the times to mix and to, you know, get the right sounds and to fix it all together. But it was because I felt like I had limited time because the balancing act, like I said, I just haven't really found the right equation yet, but I'm working on it. So it's tough. It's tough. Gym is easy because that's in the morning, but work and family is still a work in progress.
Yeah, I think it ultimately comes down to setting boundaries and realizing that if there is something that you want to do, you can do it, but it's a negotiation. So like my current negotiation is, yes, I'm going to allocate time for cardio or for fitness or whatever at the expense of maybe having that time where before I might have watched a television show or read a book or something. I'm not doing those things. I'm just now allocating those things to the weekend. And so that my weekdays are pretty much just solid of other activities, and that's fine. And that allows me to get to bed at a reasonable time and have energy. And so it's, and like you said, it's that, that balance is, it's never figured out. I think it's very conditional on just where you are in life and what your priorities are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think it's so hard to balance like everything to do because there's so many like extra little things that need specific amounts of time. Like, I mean, one of the biggest things that I've been trying to get in this semester specifically is more sleep and not try to exist on just like 5.5 to 6 hours of sleep. I've been trying to get at least 7 hours. And so like finding the time to sleep, I mean, that if we reverse the clock and like think backwards, then that means to get up at 5, I have to go to bed at 10. Like there's no negotiation there. But then when, you know, baby goes to bed at like 9:15, 9:30, like once I, you know, and we're done with like a bedtime routine, it's like to get ready, like to pack for food for the next day, to get all my gym stuff ready, like sitting at the door to prep everything I need, like that's a 15 to 20 minute process. And then it's like I have 10 minutes left and it's like, wait, what am I guess I'm just going to bed, you know? So it's hard because it does leave sometimes less time for anything personal. And that's kind of, I feel like some days have been that. I feel like I've been running a little like no like time that I would, I guess you could say like gym time is like my time. And to an extent, yes, but also I don't think leg day is personal for anyone. I think that's like the worst day ever. And
it's
so
perspective. It's you know the saying, you can't enjoy the sun if you've never experienced like the clouds or whatever. That's not exactly how
the
it goes.
Sunburn?
But the
yeah.
I guess that would be the sunburn. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so I think it's hard and a balancing act to try and fit in everything. But I like what you said. If it's important to you, you'll find time for it. You may just have to allocate different priorities and different balancing acts throughout your day to make sure that the necessary things get done. I think it's also about prioritization about what needs to be done and what can wait, you know?
Yeah, right, right. Which is, I think, with a lot of our students, too, is that they, you know, especially those that are starting formalized music instruction for the first time, or at least at this level, like those, what needs to be done, the practice was, or maybe used to be a, what might get done or after the other things. Maybe you had AP classes or extracurriculars or whatever. And now that's shifted, but it's, if you don't realize that, that's a big change.
Yeah. And it's a new perspective on what your life is right now. And I think, like you said, it's conditional to your life stages because this stage will not be here forever with like little baby being a toddler. Like she won't be a toddler forever. And suddenly, you know, when she goes to school, it's going to be totally different, you know? And then when she grows up, like it's going to be totally different, you know, it's always going to keep shifting. So we just keep working at the best balance we can. So for that long-winded answer was, I haven't really found a good balance between work and family, but gym is always at 5 a.m. That's it.
There it is. That's the secret.
That's
right
it.
There.
That's it. Anyway, yeah. So my friend Andre asked that. Andre actually he's a super smart guy. He's a brain. His at is, you can call me Andre. He's from Russia. And he also has a musician, though, because he does have a rap album.
Oh, nice.
It's really good, actually. Like, and I'm not like the biggest fan of rap, but it's actually really good. I'm not gonna out him. I think he doesn't share it with everyone, but it's actually really good. So anyway, so that's my friend Andre. So he asked us that question. So thank you, Andre. You're the man. Okay, and our last question is from Anthony's account, but not Frack City. This is the Anthony one.
Okay.
Okay, and here we hearken back to what you said. He said, what are our mains in Smash Bros?
Oh,
and then
gosh.
Who normally wins if we play? And I have to say, okay, I think you and I have officially played online like once.
Once.
Maybe yeah, twice.
This was never once. Our game of choice.
It was not. No. No. We're going to destroy people in Halo together, yes, if we're going to do anything video game wise. Like, that is, we are going to
together.
Irritate the crap out of everyone on uh-huh. Sword Base and just.
And Countdown.
And just. And and hide with the shotgun and the uh-huh. and the sword in the corner and just. Yeah. That was a great day. Mm. We angered yeah. those people so
but
bad. Anyway,
if we did play, you know, my main, of course, is one that irritates a lot of people, which is Kirby.
He DM'd me and said, don't tell me that he destroys you with Kirby. That was his exact DM to me.
I mean, those and scars must be painful for him.
It must be. I said, what did I say to him? I think I said something like, all will be revealed or something. I can't remember what I said. When we played that, well, you know my main, because when we do it, we do Melee. No, we didn't. We did.
Are you?
No, we didn't. We did. What was the game? What's the last one? We did Brawl. Is that online? No. What's the online one?
I mean, yeah, it's the Switch one. That's online.
Yeah, that's Brawl, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Gosh, I feel so
old
now. I've played every iteration since N64.
Yeah, me too. So I can't remember anymore. Brawl, well, we did that. But my main one was Melee. I played Melee a lot, like a lot. But yeah, you know my main mm-hmm. on that, right?
I was trying to remember, and it was one of those really annoying characters. So I was just going down my list of like, is it Ness or is it Donkey Kong or is it one like Link? Actually, Link is not annoying, but.
Good, because that is my main.
Okay, all right.
It is like.
That's what I thought at first, but then I thought.
That was a
Freudian
slip.
Annoying.
You think Link is annoying. That's okay. He is. His
no,
up B
like
is annoying.
No, I like Sword Fighters in
it's,
that one.
It's, oh, I do too. But his up B is really annoying. It's overpowered and way too obnoxious to be able to hit. But yeah, right. Link was my main on Melee. And on the original, though, my main was Pikachu. Loved Pikachu.
Yeah, okay, that tracks.
That was my
yeah.
main there. Yep. On Brawl, though, gosh, I can't even think of who it would be, like, my main. I have to, like, look up the Brawl characters because I just haven't played
it
that much.
Smash Brothers Ultimate. That's the most recent one.
Ultimate. Okay.
I don't know how
we
skipped
are
so old.
We are the worst.
Brawl must have been, what, GameCube? Or was that Wii? Yeah. No, that was Wii.
Yeah.
And
oh my gosh!
Is Switch.
This is terrible. Okay, so we played on the Switch. Okay, so we played Ultimate. Oh my gosh, there are 400 characters. These blocks are so tiny on the internet. I cannot even
yes.
see them.
Yeah.
All I want to do is look at the characters. That's all I want to do.
I mean, I'm still
this.
Kirby.
Okay.
But I do enjoy.
I
and this is going to harken back. I do enjoy Meta Knight, but that makes sense because it's like Kirby but more annoying.
I think. Okay, I'm looking. On this one, I don't use Link in Ultimate. Do I use Pokemon Trainer? I might use Pokemon
Do you use
Trainer.
One of those Fire Emblem characters that are kind of Link-ish?
No. Like, oh, yes. My Ultimate character is Banjo-Kazooie. That's who it is.
Okay.
That's who it is.
Yeah.
I did get the DLC for Banjo-Kazooie because I love Banjo-Kazooie. Absolutely love
yep.
it. And I think
also,
I actually used that when
music.
We played. Oh, so good. So good.
Very
I
modal.
Think that's the one I used when we played. Yeah. I love
okay.
it. But I don't remember who won when we played. I don't think we play. Yeah, that's not our game of choice. Nope. We prefer to play Halo and Kane and Lynch and
oh, not that. We did Guitar Hero though. That's the other
we
one.
We did Guitar
back
Hero
back in the days of school.
Oh, that was
or Escape
fun.
Rooms.
I remember that. Oh, undefeated. Anyway,
and
so Anthony, there's your answer. And virtual. Oh yeah, we're really good at those too. So Anthony, there's your answer for all of the iterations, what our mains are. So
I like how musically related these questions are. It's really good for a music podcast.
You know, we did say they could ask us anything.
That's true. And Banjo-Kazooie's music is very modal. It's very lots of Lydian moments, lots of Dorian moments.
When I was teaching ear training, I used it all the time. Like as, mm-hmm. you know, as examples, I loved it. I use video game a lot. I still use Zelda music when I talk about arranging and stuff. Anyway, yeah. So well, now we have some more questions.
Yes, we do. And this segment is brought to you by, let's see, George.
Oh yeah, our
Petronius,
sponsor.
Tom, that's the name. No, it's Chet.
Okay,
GPT.
Great.
But before we do that, yes, we do have another sponsor. And who's the sponsor for this week?
I think if I'm consulting my email, it's our mouth freshener brand of toothpaste.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, the whole that there's two sponsors there. So there's the toothpaste, and then there's the mouthwash.
It's the mouthwash.
Okay, all right, and here's their ad.
Hey, you with the mouth, come here. Are you tired of offending everyone you meet? Do children cry when you smile? Do you regularly eat onions before singing in opera? Well, this is for you. Smash Mouth Mouthwash for musicians. Like you.
Fresh bread like a punch in the mouth.
Smash Mouth Mouthwash is not affiliated with anyone or anything ever and is not an official sponsor of the Complete Musician Podcast.
And we're back. And minty fresh.
Very fresh.
And this brings us into our final little segment, which is questions and information brought to you by AI. Because as everyone knows, that's a hot ticket item these days. It's a buzzword. How do we use AI with life? And so we're just going to use
ChatGPT. Don't ask it to create hands. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so the first thing that I asked it, and this is me asking it a question because I thought we'd just try to put it in this place, is what is the Complete Musician Podcast?
Okay.
And I like how authoritative the answer is because it starts,
of course,
the Complete Musician Podcast is likely a platform where musicians, music educators, and enthusiasts discuss a wide range of topics relating to becoming a well-rounded musician. It can cover everything from technique and practice routines to career development, performance tips, and the business side of music. The podcast may also explore various instruments, genres, and industry trends, aiming to help musicians at all levels grow and succeed.
Wow.
So, wow. I mean, that's pretty generic.
Yeah, it is. I'm very insulted that it doesn't didn't find us and recognize, you know, like our podcast. That's very upsetting. I have to say, I'm very sad about that, but that's all right.
And I just asked it, what kind of music does Drew Phillips write? And it says, I am not familiar with a widely recognized figure named Drew Phillips in music composition. Sad. It doesn't know who I am either. So anyway, the questions that we can ask, because I asked it for, I said, I host a podcast called The Complete Musician Podcast. I should have wrote co-host. My apologies. We were asking the audience to submit questions. What questions should we answer? And then it listed a whole bunch. And then I said, make more specifically related to the French horn.
French horn? Good.
We have 8 categories, and you get to pick which category, okay?
Oh,
and
boy.
You can just say this one if you want. It's basic stuff.
Okay.
Technique and practice.
Okay.
Tone and sound production. Equipment and maintenance. Performance tips.
Definitely not that.
Repertoire and music selection. Breathing and embouchure. challenges and solutions, and professional development.
Well, let's talk about challenges and solutions.
Okay.
Because we'll give great advice.
Perfect. I love it. So here are the three questions. We're going to do challenges and solutions for the French horn. Okay. First question. What is the best way to handle tricky transpositions on the French horn?
Put on a different hat and pretend you're playing in a different country. That's my answer.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say turn the page upside down.
Good.
Or an actual answer, which was a former classmate / student of mine, which was think of different transpositions in a different clef. Every transposition has its own C clef.
No.
Right?
No. Who does that? Only
an
trombone players do that.
Insanely intelligent person.
No. Yeah, you have to be in the Mensa scale to do that. Absolutely not.
Yeah, he was. So
no. Oh, well, that makes sense. My other answer is sing it in solfege. That's always helpful. Solfege is just think of solfege related to the key you're playing in, and there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, or sometimes just get to know the music almost by memory and rote, so you're thinking of the relationship of intervals and pitches and not being overwhelmed by the notes on the page when you're trying to transpose an H.
Actually, that is, I will say that is the one of the bigger changes I've made as I've gotten older and I'm playing now, is that I now transpose it purely by solfege and thinking of the key that I'm playing in now. I don't do it because when I started, it was by interval. It's purely by interval. But no, I think now, but that's because I do it with the trumpets all the time because I play C with them. And so when they're transposing to whatever, like I transpose all their literature on my C. And so transposing, you know, all this stuff with accidentals and stuff is kind of a nightmare. So I think of the key I'm playing in, and it's just, you know, anyway, so that's a big change I've made. But that's helpful. So anyway, done. I like the different hat comment too.
That adds an extra level
very helpful
of professionalism. Okay, the second question is, how do you deal with the pressure of playing principal horn in a large ensemble? Put yourself in a position where you will never be asked to play principal to begin with.
Yeah, that's what it is. How do you deal with the pressure? I don't know.
I mean, I know your answer, because this is the book that we were going to co-write. Or maybe you were going to write, which is called Apathy, Why You Should Not Care.
Actually, that's kind of true, is that you just adopt a healthy level of apathy, a very healthy level of realizing that it's not life or death.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I deal with it. Yeah.
I mean, my actual real answer is a combination of being prepared, and also in those initial stages of maybe you've never played principal. I literally did this. Pretend as you're playing that you're a superstar, or you're just a horn player that you admire. Pretend that you're them. Do their mannerisms, like how they address the horn, how they their posture. Just pretend you're them, and you are imbued with the confidence of them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Like, but also, too. You could just try to, like, I don't know, depressurization chamber, or maybe, like, get one of those little armband things that they use to take your blood pressure and just, I don't know, loosen it or something about that.
Yeah. To reduce pressure. I mean, that's really, that reduces pressure. Yes.
Ooh, I know what you could do. You could just take a really big breath and then hold it in, tense your entire body, and then squeal the air out like a balloon.
I think you'd push a lot of other things out of your body if you did that. So I don't know if that's a great idea.
Hey, look, would you be worried about playing principal anymore at that point?
No, I'd be worried about cleaning up the stage.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Agreed. Done. Easy.
Okay. Final question. What are the common pitfalls that French horn players face, and how do you overcome them?
First of all, slipping on spit. Oh, I was going to say calling it French. calling the horn French. Right. Slipping on spit, that's a good one. Dropping your mute, although that seems to happen to trumpets and trombones just as much. So
they don't have straps on their mutes like we do. So
And yet, they have little things that they attach to their stands. We don't have that.
True.
When I am done with my view, actually, a lot of times, you know what I'll do is I'll stick it behind my back and I'll just like wedge it in to the chair when I don't have time to put it on the floor. That's what I usually do. Or just stick it
behind me. I just came up with a million-dollar idea.
Ooh, I'm ready.
For trumpet mutes, little baby parachutes. So if it falls out, the little parachute goes poof, and it slowly goes to the ground.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
I love that. It can be made of a whoopee cushion, and it goes all the way down.
Right.
slipping on spit, dropping mutes, another pitfall. We don't miss notes, so that's not a problem.
No.
And we always
just
play with
figuring out
sounds,
what to do
so
with
not
all
a
of that money you make.
Oh gosh. Oh, biggest pitfall is having sitting too squished together and not knowing what to do with your right elbow when you're jamming it into your second horn's side. Right. And how to
so
not like bash their horn into their teeth. That's a
every
that's,
all state ever.
That's a big pitfall. Especially in Texas.
Yes. Where there you have 500 people crammed into one stage for one band of one of 10 bands.
Hooray. Yes, and you try to play, you know, something delicate. You try
and
to
you
play
end up holding
a
the
Whitaker transcription.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. That's the most common pitfall I see. It's not notes, it's not tone, it's not anything else. It's everything
just
else.
What to do? Yeah.
It is. I mean, what do you do with that right hand? Like, I don't know. You use it to punch your neighbor. You use it to text. That's what I do a lot of times is I'm sitting there texting during most things. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of, I think it's the general ennui of not knowing what you could fill your horn with too. Like, could you put scoops of ice cream in the bell?
Mayonnaise is better.
Mayonnaise?
Personal experience, I know. Yeah.
Dukes?
You know.
Are you Dukes or are you a Hellman's or are you a...
Definitely
think
Dukes.
Think carefully.
Ugh.
Okay, good. Oh, phew.
What's,
all right.
What psychopath maniac does... Anyway, that's all right.
Yeah.
We'll leave that for another podcast, but anyway.
That's right. I think we pretty much covered all of the bases as far as advice goes.
We did. We have hit a lot of things that answered questions. Thank you to everyone who submitted them. We are continually thankful for you and for all of you who listen and don't ask questions, but you should because there could be something in it for you.
And because they're going to be a lot better than the questions that we just did. Not the beginning
Agreed.
Ones. Those were great. The ones that the
those are great.
Chat GPT did. Your
yes.
questions are
Agreed.
Much better.
Yes. Yes. Please ask us questions. We'd love to communicate with you.
And I think that's going to wrap up our episode for this episode, which I believe, if I'm numbering correctly, is the big 50. So that's
is it? Oh, I think you might be right.
I mean, in some semantics, we've done definitely more than 50 episodes, but I don't think we labeled the specials, the holiday specials, as numbered episodes.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow. Hooray. Hooray us.
Yay. Well, it's
Yay.
All because of you, the listeners, that keep us recording these.
Agreed.
And your feedback is important to us. So just let us know.
Yes.
And we will be back in another week with another short special topic.
Yes. So thank you for listening. You know how to contact us, all our socials, email, all that kind of stuff. And we'd love to hear from you.